So he had it timed. The mint would always disappear in 30 minutes. And he could bring his message to a conclusion, and everything worked out fine. And one Sunday, he reached in his pocket and put it in his mouth. It was a button. I don't know what that means, because this cough drop is almost gone, so you may be in trouble. No, you will not be in trouble. What I need to tell you is this. I'm struggling a little bit with my voice, so don't pay attention to me, but please listen to the words the Lord has for you today. Let us pray. Father, we bring before you this people. Their pastor is on a trip. We pray for him and pray for safety for he and his wife. We pray for this church. The work that they do is a good work. And the people are good people. So I pray today for your blessing, for the Spirit of God to speak to every heart, because the needs are great wherever we are, and in this church it's no different. The needs are great, and we live in a world that lieth in wickedness, and they need to see someone who has been lifted out of that. And that young man sang that song just now. Lord, we know you're the one who can meet our needs at every point of life. So today, have your way in every heart, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Enough has been said today for me to know that the message that I have for you is exactly what God intended. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not that I had already attained, neither already perfect, but I follow after if I apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things from behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, mind the same thing. Now that is my text, the basis for this message. But I'm not speaking to you on that, on this passage. I am giving you that because the title of my message is The High Calling of God. And this is the passage that is in. The high calling of God is we need to be living by faith above ordinary living. You want to know why you're seated with Christ in heavenly places? It's so you can live above sin. Now, in the passage, verse 12, it says, not that I'd already attained, either were already perfect. That word perfect is there, and it's also again mentioned over in 15. the word is not perfect like we think about perfect, you know, no flaws. The word either means mature or complete. Now, for me personally, I think that in verse 12, not that I've already attained either or already perfect. In other words, I'm not mature yet. Paul, writing that, said, I'm not mature yet, but I'm reaching forth to those things which are before, because that's what God wants of me. But when we get over to verse 15, where it says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. There we could say that word means complete. As many as are complete. Do you know how to become complete? You need a second birth. The second birth gives you a birth of the body and a birth of the soul. You have to have both to be complete, to become what the Lord wants you to be. Now, let's get into our message and get away from all of that. We're looking for the Lord this year. Now, if he doesn't come by January the 1st, we'll still be looking for him this year. Every year that you live, you should be looking for him this year. And the point that I'm making with this is, we should be preparing, always working, always preparing, always growing, always becoming better, so that when he comes, there won't be a big change between here and there. We will be having the experience of walking in fellowship with him, day by day by day. Now, when he comes, he will know who belongs to him. You'll be no chance of anybody being left out. Therefore, we should be living our lives according to God's standards and Christ's commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, the Lord will remove people from danger. Noah and Lot are good examples of that. The danger I'm talking about is the tribulation period when the Lord is going to come back and bring hell on earth. The devil will be in control and everything will fall apart. You think it's bad now, and it is. And the devil does seem to be almost in control, but he isn't. The Lord is allowing what's going on now in the world. He's allowing it as preparation for when it actually does happen. We should be living on the high plane of life, the high calling of God in Christ. You think about people in the Old Testament who lived according to God's standards, like Noah. The day that Noah lived, the population of the world was probably not far from what it is now. We don't even think about that, but yeah, it was pretty densely populated. And think about it. Noah and his family, the only ones that went on the ark, everybody else went with them were animals. What in the world? They had turned so far away from the Lord. What about Lot? But, well, I didn't need to complete my thought. God told him how to build an ark so that he would not be destroyed when God destroyed the world. What about Lot? Lot lived in a wicked city. It was his choice, and wasn't a good choice, but he was living, but he belonged to God. So when God's time was to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent the angels in there and took Lot by the hand, he and his family, and pulled them out of there and then burned it up. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? By the way, there are three of my favorite people. You know, they defeated Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, utterly defeated that man, the most powerful man on the face of the earth. And they never raised a finger, and they never said one bad word about him. All they did was surrender to the Lord. You want to know how to live godly in an ungodly world? It's just surrender to the Lord. You don't have to criticize everybody that is wrong. And they do need to be criticized, but you don't have to be mad and angry and upset. All you need to do is just obey the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "We're not worshiping the king, the God that the king has made. We have a God, and he said, 'No other gods before me,' and he's the only one we're worshiping." So when they threw them in the fiery furnace, the Lord just came down and walked with them. They were perfectly protected. Now, I don't think the Lord's going to do that for any of us. But I'm saying that to say, when danger comes, he will take care of those who belong to him.
Amen.
Come over to the New Testament. A little different. Stephen preached the word. And they stoned him to death. But you know, all things work together for good to them that love God. So what was going on when Stephen got stoned to death? God just moved him off of earth and moved him to heaven. That's all. When he was being stoned to death, he was looking Jesus right in the face. Got a new address. If you live for the Lord and you happen to die because of it, there's nothing to worry about. You just get a new address. What about Paul? Well, Paul preached, and the world stoned him to death. And God said, "Wait a minute, that's not right. I got more work for Paul to do." So he raised him from the dead so Paul could keep on doing what God wanted him to do. Now, I'm telling you that to say this. Neither the world, nor the flesh, nor the devil intimidated any of those men. They were not intimidated. The world intimidates you with the threat of rejection. Well, so what if the world rejects you? God accepts you if you believe his son. The flesh will intimidate you with the thought of deprivation. You're going to be deprived of getting something that you think you deserve. Oh, is that right? No. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," so that whatever you have that I give you is all you need. I'm going to say this again later, but are you satisfied with the Lord? Does the Lord satisfy your heart so that all the other stuff of the world, you don't have to have it to be satisfied? Now, the Lord has made, I'm giving you today, three declarations to let you know how well cared for you are in this world, so that the world's intimidation over you won't change anything in the way you live. And I left the devil's intimidation out a while ago. The devil intimidates you with death, but Jesus destroyed that. He destroyed the man who had the power of death, that is the devil.
Amen.
Okay. So all of those things that would intimidate you, Jesus has replaced them, destroyed them, whatever. Three things that I'm giving you today to let you know. The world, the flesh, or the devil, none of them should be able to intimidate you to the point that you lose your joy, you become angry, full of self-pity, because the Lord's working all the time in His children for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The first declaration that I give to you, and I say declaration, somebody else may come up with better terminology, but it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse 29. David has sent to Nabal a request for some food to feed his men. And Nabal has sent back to David and said, I don't know who you are, and I'm not giving you any food. David, being who he was, said, I'll take care of that. Got all his men together and all their weapons together, and they got on the road and they headed to Nabal's house. All right. One of the servants knew what David was doing, took off as fast as he could and got to Nabal's house, and got Nabal's wife out of the house and said, Nabal is going to die today and all of his male servants. So Abigail said, get some donkeys and let's load them down with food. Go meet David. You go as fast as you want. Don't worry about me. I'll catch up with you later. They found David and his men coming down the road and stopped them. Abigail looked at him and said, you are going to be the king. You do not need this, the murder of a fool on your resume. You're going to be the king. It's determined already. And David, you are wrapped in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. Now, I'm standing here looking at you, and I'm going to tell you this. If you have been born again with that second birth that I told you about earlier, you have been wrapped in the bundle of life with the Lord your God.
Amen.
And you do not need to be angry. You don't need to be self-pitying. You don't need to be belligerent. You don't need to be profane. You don't need to be any way to meet the world on its own level. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places above what the world has. You are wrapped in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What does that mean? That means your mind is clear. You can think. The devil has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, your mind is clear, because the devil does not have you blinded anymore. Your eyes can see the kingdom of God. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, but you can, because you have been born again. Now, I'm assuming that you have been born again, but if you are here today and you have not had that second birth, you have not been born again, then what I'm saying to you is something that you should seek to have. You're wrapped in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. Your mind is clear, your eyes can see, and your ears have been circumcised. In Jeremiah chapter 6, God told Jeremiah, the prophet, Israel cannot obey. They do not obey. They cannot obey the prophets. They cannot obey the priests. They don't, because they have uncircumcised ears. But when you have been born again, your ears have been circumcised. Jesus said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. You can hear when the Lord speaks. You can hear him when he speaks if you pick up your Bible and read it. Oh, that just came to my mind. You remember we were at Arby's the other day? I'm sitting there eating, but she's paying attention to what's going on around. She whispered over to me, they're over there reading the Bible instead, and that man is teaching that man the Word of God. Right in Arby's. What? The old man was over here teaching the young man, and they both had a Bible, and they were talking out loud. Amen. You can hear when the Lord speaks. Your ears have been circumcised. You ever heard a message on the radio or the television that you knew when you heard it, it wasn't right? You know why you knew it wasn't right? You had circumcised ears. You're bound in the bundle of life with the Lord your God, and you are a new creature in Christ. And you cannot die. If you're bound in the bundle of life with the Lord your God, you cannot die. How many of you believe that you cannot die? You cannot. Now, if you're not saved, you're going to die. Now, let me throw this in there. You listen to what I'm going to say. The second death is the only death you ever need to fear. Because the second death is permanent. It puts you in the lake of fire, eternally separated from everything that God knows anything about. But if you die in the body, that's no big thing if you're saved. But the second death, you need to fear the second death. If you're wrapped in the bundle of life with the Lord your God, you can't die. Jesus told Martha that Lazarus' grave, he says, Martha, he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Martha, do you believe that? I can see him right now just walking up and looking at us. Martha, do you believe that? There's something you need to... Do you actually believe that? If you believe that, nothing should be able to intimidate you like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't make any difference what you do, think, say, or how you act. worship one God, and we're going to worship him the way he wants to be worshiped. Nebuchadnezzar had no power over them at all. Wrapped in the bundle of life with the Lord your God, you will have a fruitful life. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Any man abide in me, I'm going to prune him. I'm going to purge him. I'm going to prune him so he will bear fruit. Then I'm going to prune him again so he will bear more fruit. And then I'm going to prune him again so he will bear much fruit. But you will bear fruit. You see, the sower goes forth to sow, and the seed that falls on good ground, where it is taken in, believed, and produces, it produces fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Everybody, saved person, doesn't bear the same amount of fruit in the same way, but everybody bears fruit. Amen. Who is saved? Amen. Who is born in the family of God? You are a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth your fruit in his season. You are a sheep in his pasture. And you're a workman in his employ. Or you're a workman. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he hath ordained before that you should walk in them. He's already. And he's given you the gift that you need to do that work. So we need to do the work the Lord has gifted you to do. Don't try to do the work that somebody else does, but do the work that God's gifted you to do. My life's garden was rocky soil that failed to yield for work or toil, till a sower came with perfect seed to replace the unproductive weed. There grows a rose perfumed with grace, in which I see the sower's face, and with a touch of mercy there he placed a lily, pure and fair, watered with a crystal chalice from springs by the ivory palace. Oh, worthless garden, now produce fruit worthy of the master's use. You will have a fruitful life as a child of God. You're wrapped in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. You cannot die. You are a new creature and you'll have a fruitful life. Now, secondly, y'all used to getting out at 12 o'clock? Secondly, you're ahead with Christ in God. Okay, and I'm giving you these three things to let you know the world is not to intimidate you. Amen. To lessen your witness for him. Amen. If you're wrapped in the bundle of life with the Lord your God, what can the world do? But what about being hidden with Christ in God? You know where that is in Colossians. You've already read that this morning, or you were close to it anyway. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He says that if you are dead, and if you are risen with him, then seek those things which are above. Not the things that are here, but seek those things which are above. Verse 3 says, because you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are hidden away from the wrath of God. He that believeth on him has eternal life. He that believeth not does not have life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you believe on me, you're not condemned. But if you believe not, you are condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Folks, let me tell you something. You are hidden away from God's wrath, you are hidden away from God's condemnation, and you are hidden away from the devil's darkness of unbelief. Because God has translated you, delivered you from the power of darkness, and translated you into the kingdom of his dear Son. Therefore, all of your members are to be submitted to him. All your members are to be serving him. Your heart should pound after him like a hind does after the water brooks. Your eyes should look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Your ears should be listening to hear him when he speaks. My sheep hear my voice. Your hands ought to work for him. I'm repeating now, you know that. Because he's ordained good work for you to do. But if you don't do what somebody else does, you don't worry about it or think that God looks at you as a lesser person. Do what he's gifted you to do. Do what you can do. Make sure you know what he wants you to do. And do it. Hands. Feet walking with him. We are going down through the valley of the shadow of death every day. But his rod and staff are with us to comfort us. Every step you take, he sets a table before you that you can sit down and eat. He anoints your head with oil. What is the world going to do to intimidate you? The devil can't hold any fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Haven't had time, we talked about that this morning already, but he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You can think, because the devil only blinds the minds of them that believe not. He can't blind the minds of those who do believe.
Amen.
And your tongue ought to speak for him. All your members, your tongue. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. So there we have two. You are wrapped in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. The world holds no intimidation. You are hidden away from the wrath and the condemnation of God and the darkness of unbelief. You are hidden away from that in Christ, in God. Now we come to the Blessed One. And you are written in his book. Turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Don't you like those 3:16s? Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. You are written in his book. Now, here is called the Book of Remembrance. In Revelation, it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. But it's his book. And you are written. Now look at this. Then they which feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. When is that going to be? The rapture. He's going to come and say, that one belongs to me, and that one belongs to me because they are written in my book. Three criteria given. Now here I'm speeding up a little bit, and because time is not standing still. But three criteria given to be written in his book. The first one is the fear of the Lord. You must fear the Lord. There are a whole lot of things in fearing the Lord. The number one thing, of course, is to be saved, born again, born into the family of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. You know, everything begins with birth. You have to be born for anything to begin in this world for you. And that's the same thing for the Christian life. You have to be born into it. It's the beginning. You add to it now faith and virtue and knowledge and so on. But Proverbs chapter 8 tells us the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. How many of you hate sin? Yeah, go ahead, raise your hand. I don't see. How many of you are not sure? How many of you think there's some sins you'd like to cozy up to? Have a little bit of rub off on you. We live in a wicked world, folks. Amen. And we have become desensitized to sin. Pardon me. And it's just not good. But you have, in the fear of the Lord, you have salvation. The fear of the Lord speaks of sanctification, hating sin. And the fear of the Lord tends toward life. It leads toward life. So that when you are living through this valley of the shadow of death, you are living for Him. You want to jot this one down. I'm not going to turn there. I wanted to, but I'm going to skip it over. Proverbs 19:23. It tells you there that in that you will be satisfied with the Lord. You need to ask yourself again, question, you're satisfied with Jesus. Then it says that evil will not clamp onto you. And they, now we're back to verse 16 in Malachi 3. The second criteria for being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The first one is you need to fear the Lord. The second one is found in the next phrase. They spake often one to another. That's testifying. That's witnessing. Psalm 66 tells us, come, he says in verse 16, and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. You have something that the Lord has done for you that you could tell somebody about? Should be something more than just, well, let's see, in my case, I told somebody this in a sermon not long ago. Oh, no, in a church, yeah, in the church I was, I told, I've been married 57 years, but I've been saved 57 years. So the preacher said, good night, he's been saved almost as long as I've been alive. In that length of time, there's got to be something that the Lord has done beyond being saved. They witness of his salvation and they witness of his compassion. Psalm 56. The psalmist says, and he catches my tears in his bottle. You shed some tears in your life over loved ones, over the death of family, over the rebellion of children, over your parents mistreating you. And on and on and on. What's he going to do with those tears? He catches. Let me tell you something. God is not emotional. You cannot cry yourself up under his arm. You can't. Tears don't move him. Tears he will catch. But God is factual. He responds to obedience. But what's he going to do with that bowl of tears? I am one who believes that Jesus went to hell. There are a lot of men that don't believe that Jesus went to hell, but I believe he went to hell. And I believe he took all the sins of all the world with him when he went, because the Father laid all the sins on him, and he went to, and he left them in hell. Revelation 21 tells us that after the great white throne judgment, he cast hell and death into the lake of fire.
Amen.
All those sins that Jesus left in hell, he cast them into the lake of fire. Now we go to chapter 21, a little further on, chapter 21, and it says, this is after now he has burned up this earth and created a new heaven and a new earth. The only ones who populate the second earth are people with the second birth. And then the scriptures say, and he will wipe away all tears. He takes that ball of tears that you cried all your lifetime and all of your friends, and he pours them out. No more tears. No tears in the second heaven and the second earth. No tears. They're done away with. Compassionate God. His compassion is eternity long.
Amen.
You know why we have a problem understanding God and the way that he works is because our days are 24 hours. Okay? God's day is 1,000 years. He's in no hurry. The third thing, criteria for you being written in the book of God's remembrance, is the fear of the Lord, witnessing for him, testifying of the Lord, and look at the end of verse 16, and they thought upon his name. They thought upon his name. Your thought life, it's important. And they thought upon his name. So, those thoughts ought to guide us in our life in decision making. The Bible tells us that there are people who do not have God in their thoughts at all. They make no decisions around or along what God wants. Okay. They think biblically. Okay. You know how to think biblically. Just go over and read Philippians 4:8. You know, what sort of things are true? Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Notice this. When you begin to think on anything, you must always start with truth. Not your truth or her truth or his truth, but the truth.
Amen.
Start with the truth. That's why we can't come to justice in this world. Because nobody starts with the truth. Right? And their thoughts bring them peace and joy. If the word of Christ dwells in you richly, you ought to have songs and hymns and spiritual songs making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So, folks, the Lord is coming. Let's let not the world, the flesh, or the devil intimidate us in any way to lessen our testimony or to lessen our Christian living. We're looking for him this year, and our confidence in him should replace all fear with joy and thanksgiving. Should replace all worry with trust, all anger with peace. Let us be sure that we trust the Lord and not the government. Our confidence in his word should be in his word and not in the work of our hands. And our guidance should come from the Holy Spirit, and not from the culture that we live in.
Amen.
So, rest your hope in the future in the Lord. He has given you life. In him we live and move and have our being. He's given you life. He has given you a book to tell you how to best use the life that you have and how to bring it to a conclusion that he would bless and be satisfied with. You can come to that conclusion by faith in his son. God said, he that believeth on my son becomes my son. Today, if you're not saved, not born again, you haven't had the second birth, this is the day to do it. The world is looking for somebody who lives differently from it. Christians are the only ones that have any chance of demonstrating the change that can take place in a person's life when he is converted. Let's bow heads in prayer. Father, for all of these people, your people in this church to do your work, I pray you would help them, encourage them, strengthen them. And I pray that you would help them to bear fruit, that they might have the joy of the Lord and live above the circumstances of life. In this invitation, if there's one here who is unsaved, is not sure that he's going to heaven when he dies, I pray that you would help him to make a decision today to trust the Lord Jesus, who died for his sins, was buried, and rose again for his justification. Have your way in every heart. Be exalted in our midst today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.